Should we bring Corey Catt onto the show, Doug?
Yeah, let's talk dairy here a little bit, something that we probably should spend more time talking about from time to time. Go ahead.
Corey is a forage specialist for Latham High-Tech Seed, and I think, Corey, you've been at the World Dairy Expo all week in Madison, Wisconsin, right?
Oh, that's correct. Absolutely. And we go through Saturday, actually, is when the show ends. So
tell us about the atmosphere there.
It's pretty fun. I've enjoyed it. I've been coming here many years, and it's kind of like, a Super Bowl for showing dairy cattle. And then all the supporting businesses that go into dairy farms are all here sharing new ideas. And it's always a nice time. And, there's a lot of families that do come down here as well to create traditions and memories that are, to last into a lifetime for a lot of these young kids that are here, 4-H and FFA members. So it's a lot of fun around here.
So you've been going there for many years. What's new this year? Anything?
It's just, it's fun to look around and see the new genetics on animals as they, through years of good breeding. It's you can just see that the structure of animals has gotten a lot more solid through the years. And equally as much in our genetics and plant genetics, you can just see we have a lot more things to offer, in the program of nutrition for the, our plant products, and then that goes through to the dairy cow, and eventually the consumer. So it all kind of goes into creating healthier meat, milk, and eggs. So, but it all starts with the soil and through good plant genetics. So,
Corey, what's the general consensus among dairy producers now that maybe you work with? Are they milking twice a day, three times a day, sometimes more?
It's a combination of twice and three times. And then we got, Lele here's got the robotic milkers, and that's offering guys a lot of latitude of freedom. And it makes it easier for cows to kind of, conveniently walk in and get milked when she wants to. And they can set how many times a day that the cow could get, get milk. So, but as far as traditional farmers, I think, most of them are kind of hanging in that, two times a day. Well, that's a great question, though.
What's happening out there in the market for dairy producers? Getting alfalfa, maybe combining, I read something on hayandforage.com yesterday about mixing with fescue, trying to get that forage to be as valuable to the cow as possible. What's happening out there?
Well, and that's, there's a lot of, research on that stuff resurfacing. We kind of come full circle. We've taken grass out of the forages many years ago and went to straight alfalfa. And we do have a fair amount of farmers, especially after this year when we had a lot of winter kill in our alfalfa field. Some guys are having to look at special grasses as an emergency forage. And, as a result of that, they found that, we've got increased tonnage and, we've got some really good quality out of some of the grasses that we used to supplement that winter kill that we did have from the last, last spring. So I think that we'll see a resurgence of that coming forward here, a blending of, it makes it more palatable and actually adds a little extra in tonnage as well. So, but I've seen some growers moving more towards the, adding more grasses back into the mix. So,
there's been some corn chop for silage here in Iowa. What's the buzz going at the expo regarding that?
Harvest is, I bet you we're probably three quarters of the way through with corn silage harvest. Guys, a lot of guys are tapering off. Big buzz down here is looking at shredlage, certainly changing a processor on the choppers, and then it changes the particle size. So it's just something new and advanced. A nice result of that is that cows have got healthier rumen, better rumen biology, and then the bottom line, she's healthier and she produces more milk. So that's kind of probably one of the topics that I see as kind of a buzzword around, in the last year, especially just in the industry, is looking at shredlage, and again, just a different particle size. It's kind of fun, it's pretty interesting. So,
hey, Corey, this is Doug again. Can I take you back to the robotic systems? Now, you say that the cows kind of go in there on their own. I mean, is that right? I mean, a lot of dairy farmers I used to work with when I was in Northeast Iowa, they couldn't wait for their kids to grow up and get old enough to milk the cows for them so they could have a day off.
Yeah, I agree. I was one of those robots.
But how does that work? I was trying to imagine that. What the the cow decides when to be milked? Is that what you said?
They can program. They have a little chip that hangs around their neck, and it's kind of a magnetic type thing. And there's a sensor on there, so a cow, they kind of entice her into the stall by giving her some flavorful food, I would say, I guess. And then the cow will naturally just gravitate toward the robotic milker, and if they can program how many times a day that she can be milked, if it's two times or three times a day, and she'll just move toward the robotic milker. And if she's already been in there four or five times, or been up there, it won't allow her to come into the robotic milker. And that's the best I can understand it. I've been on some dairies with when they're working. It's actually really interesting to watch this whole thing.
I'd like to see that. That's amazing. Everything connects up automatically.
It is. It's from the best I can tell. I'm not an expert on this by any means, but just watching it, there's lasers that will identify the animals. The deep placement, and then it remembers it. So when the cow's chip is read by the computer, already has pre-programmed in there where roughly her, where they need to put the milker. So it's it's just really it's amazing to watch this whole thing. From where I was when a kid to where we're at today, it's just amazing.
Kind of wish you could have them back then. Or do you? Most people I talk to, they hated getting up that early, but they got fond memories of those days.
I agree with you. I do too. I guess they always say it builds character, and I guess I think it did too. And family farms, especially dairy farms, where you have to be home and working all the time. I think it just it builds a better community, and it's building our youth too. With responsibility and all the things that surround it. So.
Guys, a text just came in. Somebody currently watching 120 cows go through two robots on their own, doing book work and listening to the Big Show. Apparently, the cows run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there's a testament to the technology that is out there. And Corey, you're coming in late on a conversation that we've been having throughout the Big Show today. We had a couple of really nice guys drop off a 240-pound pumpkin today that says the Big Show on it. And we've been receiving texts from listeners saying that apparently cows really like pumpkins. Do you know anything about that?
I don't know much about it. I raised pumpkins myself, and I raised some big ones. And my dad had sold his dairy cows, but we had some heifers out in our pasture, and they broke the fences down to get into the pumpkin patch. And it's just amazing how they can, they just devoured the pumpkins. So I don't know if it's the carbohydrates or the sugars or sweetness or what it is in the pumpkins, but kind of a light pumpkin crop that year. It was a couple of years ago that happened, but so mine's certainly anecdotal. I don't know much beyond that as far as what pumpkins do for a dairy cow, but that's interesting, though.
Yeah.
I would love to learn more.
I think Shannon Latham has a pumpkin patch, so maybe I'll ask her about that sometime. But Corey, we're out of time. Really appreciate the report from the World Dairy Expo. Good to talk to you.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks, guys.
Corey Catt, Latham Forage Specialist, live from Madison, Wisconsin on the Big Show. We'll take a break. We have markets to get to and maybe get to a little more weather information as well.